afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Blessed is the man, he said, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which shall bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. That was the godly man. That was the blessed man. But this afternoon, we want to consider the description of the ungodly man. He is the antithesis of the blessed man. And when you think about the description of the ungodly man, the Bible says he is like the chaff that the wind driveth away. But first he says the ungodly is not so. What do you mean the ungodly is not so? Well, if you remember that the godly man, the blessed man, was said to be planted by God, and he was also, therefore, he was planted by God, but he was planted by rivers of water. And so the fact that he was said to be planted by God means he was not an accident, that it was God's doing. He can trace his way back to God. He can trace the fact of he can trace his behavior, his beliefs, and all those things back to God. And so God is fully aware of that blessed man because God is the reason why that man is blessed. But the opposite of that man is the ungodly man. And the Bible says, for the ungodly is not so. In other words, he was not planted by God. He is not good grain, but he is like the chaff that the wind driveth away. So you have to ask the question, what kind of featherweight of chaff do against a mighty wind? They are like the chaff that is separated from the grain when thrown up by God's power and the wind of his judgment blows, my friends, they will be blown away. And you think about that, and we make a modern day application when you think about the ungodly being thrown up by God's power into the wind of his judgment. When judgment of God comes against the ungodly, he will find that he is too light. He's too light. When they would throw that grain up in front of that fan, when that fan and that wind blew, my friends, that grain would fall down to the ground, but that chaff was too light and it would be blown away. And when you throw man up into God's judgment, the wind of God's judgment will blow away anything that is chaff. In other words, it's too light. And the ungodly are too light. In other words, my friends, there's too many things about the ungodly that is fickle, that doesn't have any weight to it. And one thing is, they are not weighty in their convictions. You ask a person, what do you believe? And you'll find that the ungodly are everywhere. They are all over the place. They typically don't have any particular belief on which they would rest their hat. They are all over the place when it comes to their belief and convictions. And you know, sometimes what's interesting to me is how people get upset with us for having a conviction. And sometimes people get upset with me for being too strong in my convictions. But they don't have one. You can get upset because a man says, this is what I believe and this is what the Bible says, and I stand on this conviction. And then the individual that has no conviction will get upset about you for having one. Will criticize you for having a conviction. I told you a few weeks ago, I just rattled off some things that I believe. And I believe a lot more things. And I can tell you exactly what I believe, and I'm not ashamed to tell you what I believe. Just like Paul, who says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because that is a system of belief. It is a gospel system of faith. In other words, my friends, it is all about Jesus Christ. It is about who he is and who he was and how he lived and what he came to do and the doctrine that he teaches and all those kind of things and the salvation that he brought and the claim that there is no other way to salvation outside of himself. Imagine such a claim. Jesus says there is no way to the Father but through me. Amen. I am the only way to the Father. Jesus can make those claims. I am the bread of life. I am the door. If you want to go in and out and find pasture, you must come through me. If you want the bread of life, you must come through me. I am that bread. If you want to have your rivers flowing with living water and your belly flowing with living water, if you want that, you must come through me because I am that living water. I am the chief shepherd. Under me, there can be nothing but under shepherds because I am the chief one. Think about the claims that Jesus was making. My friends, that is my conviction. Think about Jesus saying, I came to build my church. That is my conviction because Jesus said, I will build my church. If he built his church, my friend, there's no others. There's but one. And there's only one way in salvation can be found, and that is in the church that Jesus built and then he purchased with his own blood. And there are scripture after scripture in order to set this up. What I'm saying, my friend, is that's my conviction. I believe there's only one way to do it. There's only one way to go. There's only one way to live. And if it doesn't start and end with Christ, you got the wrong way. That's conviction, my friends. And what I'm saying is this. At some point, man is going to come before the judgment seat of God. And he's going to be thrown up in God's judgment, and the wind of God's judgment will blow. And if he's too light in his conviction, he'll be blown away. People will criticize you for what you believe, yet they never offer what they believe. But I just ask people, what is it that you believe? Person entered in my office one day. I was in Illinois. Entered in my office and said, well, you know, I heard you talking about marriage and divorce. And I just want to get some clarification on what you believe on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And I looked right at him and said, I'm not telling you what I believe on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. You came in here to find out what I believe, but before I share with you what I believe, you're going to share with me what you believe. Amen. Otherwise, this conversation is not going to go very far. Amen. What you're not going to do is get a chance to just poke holes in what I believe. Amen. Because you have no belief. Right. And before I enter into a discussion with you about what I believe, I want to know what you believe so at least we can go to the Bible and figure it out. But see, folks don't want to put themselves out of that. When you say, well, Brother Dismick, I disagree with what you're teaching. Well, then tell me what you believe on it. And tell you what, you better come from the book. In other words, what are your convictions? What is your belief? You see, when you're thrown up into God's judgment and his wind of judgment blows, if you don't have a weighty conviction, my friends, if you're not convicted, you better get convicted. Because this loosey-goosey stuff like chaff that means nothing, that's worthless, will not work. It'll be blown away with the wind of God's judgment. And that's what the ungodly is. He is too light in his conviction. And I'm telling you, my friends, we are not of the ungodly. Therefore, we must be weighty and stand firm on our convictions so that, my friends, when the wind of God's judgment blow, my friend, it'll be like the heavy grain that falls directly down to the ground. Because it's got some substance to it. Look at Paul's warning to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse number 14.
That we henceforth be no more children.
Listen to what he says. That we henceforth be no more children doing what?
Tossed to and fro.
Being tossed to and fro with what?
And carried about
with every wind of doctrine. How?
By the sleight of men.
By the sleight of men.
Yeah, and cunning craftiness.
Cunning and craftiness, because that's how they come. They are cunning and they are crafty. And they lie in wait to do what?
To deceive.
And there's a lot of them out there, my friends. You better be sure about your conviction because there are some folks that will move you. There are some folks that will toss you. And Paul said, don't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You've got to be weighty in your convictions. And see, the ungodly man is not weighty in his convictions. And therefore, it will not have a chance once the wind of God's judgment blow. They are never stable. Not only is his convictions too light, his conversation is too light. His manner of living is too light. His professions are foolish. His friendships are insincere. How are you going to have a true friendship with the ungodly? You can't trust them. They're ungodly for a reason, my friends. And if you trust that friendship, then you trust the wrong thing. So even his friendships are insincere. And when thrown up in the wind of God's judgment, he and his works will be blown away. When thrown up against the wind of God's judgment, all his excuses will be blown away. When thrown up against the wind of God's judgment, all his lies, falsehoods will be blown away. When thrown up against the wind of God's judgments, all his deeds shall be blown away. All of his works shall be blown away. And you know what's interesting when you think about this ungodly man? The Bible says the ungodly are not so. When you contrast the ungodly man with the blessed man, what was said to be negative in the life of the blessed man is positive in the life of the ungodly man. You see, the blessed man did not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, did not stand in the way of sinners, and did not sit in the seat of the scornful. However, the ungodly man does walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does believe like they do. He does behave like they do. He does belong to them. He does stand in the way of sinners, and he does sit in the seat of the scornful. And what was said to be positive in the blessed man's life is negative in the ungodly man's life. He does not delight in the law of the Lord. He is not like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. He is not green and beautiful and fruitful and faithful and flourishing. And therefore, my friends, the ungodly man will be brought to his doom. They shall not be able to stand in the day of judgment. Go to Psalm chapter 1. The ungodly are not so, but are like the shaft that the wind driveth away. But look at verse number 4.
The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away.
Come on, read.
Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation.
Wait. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Remember that the ungodly is the opposite of the blessed man. You know, there's an old saying that you don't have two legs to stand on, or you don't have any legs to stand on for that matter. It means that you have no solid argument. You have no support. It is a saying that suggests that your situation is hopeless. The wicked will have nothing and no one to plead on their behalf. They will not be able to stand with holy confidence. And you know, isn't that what it's truly all about? Isn't that what John keeps stressing to the Christian as he writes in his epistle, that we can have confidence? Let me ask you, how confident are you? How confident are you? You see, we can have a confidence when we stand in the judgment that the ungodly can't understand, can't appreciate. They have no confidence. They won't have any confidence to stand upon. And therefore, they cannot stand in the judgment. And you know, you think about the irony of this, is that the Bible says that the wicked or the ungodly stood with the wicked. He stood with the wicked. But he will not be able to stand in the judgment. Wow. My friends, that tells me you better be careful where you take your stands. You might stand with the ungodly and you may get their approval. You might get their love and their fellowship. But you won't be able to stand in the judgment with God. Be careful where you stand. He says, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. You know, I wrote a note. I wrote a note here, Wendell, and then you sang the song. I said, we sing a song when the roll is called up yonder. You just sang it. When the roll is called up yonder, but guess what? The ungodly will not be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. But when the roll is called up yonder, the ungodly shall not be there. Why? Because the ungodly shall not stand. He shall not be able to take up residence. He will have no place in the congregation of the righteous. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7:23 says, and then will I profess unto them, depart from me. I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. How ironic is this? They sat with the wicked, but will not be able to sit among the congregation of God's righteous. The doom of the ungodly When the roll is called up yonder, no ungodly person will be there.
Amen.
The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The wicked walked in the way of the ungodly, but did not walk in the way of faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the ungodly does. He walks in his unrighteousness, but he will not walk in faith of Jesus Christ. He walked with the ungodly, but will not walk in the justification through the blood of Jesus Christ. He walked in the way of the ungodly, but will not walk in the sanctification of the Spirit. He walked in the way of the ungodly, but he would not walk in the old paths. He would not walk in the good way. Jeremiah tried to plead with the people of his day to walk in that way. He said, stand ye in the ways and see, Jeremiah 6:16. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know, it's an old path when we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was brought by Jesus Christ, Romans 3, verse number 20 through 22. It was a way of righteousness. It is described by Paul as that way. It is described by Jesus as that way, that every man, woman, boy, girl needs to find that way. Paul said he wasn't ashamed of that way. Paul preached and taught that way and suffered because of that way. And that way is old. That way is the old paths. And people say today, you all are old fashioned. Thank you for the compliment. I surely appreciate it. Because what I don't want to be is this new school stuff. I want to stay in the old paths. We want that old Jerusalem gospel. We want that one that's been preached over 2,000 years ago that was brought by Jesus Christ, wherein the righteousness of God is revealed in that old way. That old way still works today. That old way still saves today. And man is taking liberties with it as he changes it to his own hurt. He'll be too light in the judgment. The old paths and the good way. The Bible says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Why does he know the way of the righteous? Because he made the way. Why does he know of the way of the righteous? Because he approves of that way. He sent Jesus to establish that way. It is the way that leads back to him. And that's the way of which he approves. The godly man is approved by God because God approves of his lifestyle. God approves of his faith. God approves of his mind, of his heart. God approves of his deeds. God approves of him because he has found the way marked out by God himself. But the way of the ungodly, he says, shall perish. The way of the wicked has always and will always lead to death. Paul in Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. It is the way that is unapproved by God. It is a way, my friends, that God cannot bless. We always have to tell people sometimes, when you make a decision to do certain things or to live a certain way, always tell people, especially people who are not in Christ, I say, what you have to do is choose a way that God can bless. See, God can't bless that. God can't approve of that. That goes against him. So you need to choose a way that God can approve, that God can bless, that God can encourage, that God can smile. And so, my friends, that puts the choice squarely on you to decide that I'm going to go in the way that God will bless because it's his way. Because he's not blessing that.
Amen.
And that's why the ungodly shall perish, because they chose a way that God cannot approve of. How ironic is this? That the ungodly, he scoffed at religion. You see, the blessed man didn't walk in that way. Blessed is that man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Those who scoff at holy things. So the irony of this is that the ungodly man's way shall perish in the end, because the one thing he needs, he scoffed at it. He has scoffed throughout life at holy things and holy people. He scoffed at the things that was given to him by God. He scoffed at religion that was brought by Jesus Christ. And now what he'll need in the judgment is for the Holy One, of whom he has scoffed, to speak on his behalf. And no one holy will speak for him. John said, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2, 1 and 2. Aren't you glad that when you bless, and a blessed man, a blessed person, blessed woman, blessed boy, blessed girl, because you are connected with Christ in the right way, because you have a fellowship with him, because you walk in his path, and because you deny the ungodly, you won't keep room with them, you won't follow their counsel and their way. You have told the wicked, you need to depart from me, because I've decided, Psalm 119, 115, I'm going to keep the commandments of God. And since your advice, and since your life, and since your way is against him, I cannot faithfully keep the commandments of God while I walk hand in hand with you. You are a detriment to holiness. And therefore, as Paul said in Ephesians 5, I must renounce your fellowship. And the only thing I can do is correct you and tell you got to go the right way. Amen. It's good to know that when I've made those decisions, that there is one in heaven, a holy prince, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who will stand up and speak on my behalf and tell the God of heaven that I represent, that he has counsel. When you're standing at the judgment seat, that he has counsel. I'm his advocate. And he'll see you through. Amen. But the ungodly is going to perish. He scoffed at holy things. And now nothing holy will stand up and speak on his behalf. Psalm 1 is a beautiful psalm, because what it presents to us is one of two ways. This is the way you go. This is the way that leads to God. This is the way that God blesses. And this is the benefit from choosing this way. You can avoid the wicked. You don't believe like them. You don't behave like them. And you don't belong to them. So therefore, renounce them and see yourself flourish as one planted by God, like a river with stability, like with all the resources of rivers of water. And you're going to bring forth fruit in your season. When it's time, my friends, for you to make a difference, when it's time for you to step up, when it's time for you to come shining through, all of the benefits that God has given is going to make you able and ready in that moment to bring glory to God. And then, my friends, approved by God because of the way you chose. And what a contrast to the wicked, who after he walked and he stood and he sat with those wicked folks, he did not delight in the law of the Lord. He did not meditate in the day and night. That was not his pleasure. Everything else was. He chose his path. Therefore, he can't be like a tree, but he's more like chaff, the worthless stuff that is fit to be blown away. And when God's judgment sounds and the wind blows, everything he was about is going to be blown away with him. None of his deeds, nothing will stand for him, be able to speak for him. He'll find no place to stand in the judgment. He has no place in the congregation of the righteous. When God calls the righteous up home, my friends, no ungodly, no sinner will enter into that place. He will have no part with the congregation of the righteous. My friends, when we enter into eternity, there will be nothing that offends that will be there. Amen. He chose. But his way will perish. And he will. Question.
doesn't this make it a pretty easy choice? I don't want to spend too much time on the wicked because we've always chose righteousness, so I just had to be fair with it. But we chose righteousness, so I wasn't going to give it nearly the time I gave the godly man, because we've chose righteousness. But God shows us that there's only one or two ways. Choose correctly, and we must continue to keep choosing. We've chosen the right way, let's continue to keep choosing, because now we see all the great benefits that God has given. And we know why we are blessed. If you're here this afternoon and you want to be blessed, you might be in the ungodly way right now, my friends, but you can get out. And the way out is through Jesus Christ. Believe in him. Your faith in him, my friends, he is God. And he loves you. And he demonstrated that through his death on the cross. And if you, my friends, love him, then Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the first thing you need to do is have faith in him and then repent of your sin, because he requires it. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You need to confess it because he requires it. Confess before me, and I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. You need to be baptized because he requires it, my friends. Jesus said, whosoever believeth in him and is baptized, you go out and teach that. He told the disciples, go out and teach that. And tell whoever will believe in me and will be baptized, they shall have a remission of sin. They shall be saved. They'll be added to my body, to the church. They be faithful because I'm faithful. And when the judgment comes and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will be able to stand in holy confidence because we stood in this life with Jesus. If you need to respond to that invitation, we offer you the opportunity to do so if you stand and sing. The invitation's offered.